We've been talking about life givers. And what a life giver is someone who's received the life of God within them. And then wherever they go, they're giving that same life that they received to others, right? And so as we're talking about life givers, we as a church are trying to, what our mission is empowering people to give life. We can't give life without receiving the life that Christ has given us, right? First and foremost, we have to receive it, and we have to have it for ourselves before we can give it. But once we have it, once we have the life of God in us, then it would be sad if we didn't give it, right? And in Romans, it talks about our bodies being an instrument for good and for his glory. And I want my life, and I'm sure you want yours too, to be an instrument, a tool, an avenue for people to receive the life of God. And so tonight, I'm just asking you to open your heart, your eyes, your ears, and make room for the Holy Spirit to speak. Because I may not have all the eloquence in the world to share, but he's got something for you. And he has something for you to learn. And I like what Lindsay said, he's our teacher. And so as I do my best to teach, and I'm not usually the one speaking, but I'm humbled and thankful for the opportunity while our pastors are gone. And while I'm speaking, I'm just trusting him to say something to you, you know? Because there's sometimes we just need him to make sense of some stuff, and we need him to talk to us about some things and just help us in whatever we're going through. So I'm just trusting that he's going to do that for you, whatever you're going through, while we're talking about life-giving, right? So tonight we're talking about life givers and what they do with their hands. Now, I don't know if you've seen this poster of the life giver down here. We put it up here. I don't know if you can see it. But it was on stage when we made our announcements about life givers. And what cracks me up about this life giver guy is that he looks like he's about to pounce on someone. He's, you know, like, he's very happy. And we're so glad. But, you know, he's showing his hands. And his hands are being used for several things. We're going to go over what a life giver's hands are used for. And one of the very first things that we're going to talk about is that a life giver uses their hands to serve. And we're going to start in Mark 10, 43 through 46. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, you can look up on the screens. But in Mark 10, verse 43, actually it's like the last part of 42. Start it there. So Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I love that Jesus himself, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who we worship, the one who we adore, he came not to be served. Which he really had a reason to be served, right? I mean, like, he's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's got all the power. I mean, like, that's, we could easily, you know, for him to come and be like, "Look at me, I'm really cool, I've got lots of power," you know, but That's not what he did. He came to serve, and he showed it, not just with his words, but he showed it with his actions. And he served so much that he gave his life. And he gave his life as a ransom. And so he's telling the disciples, he's saying, listen, among you, you're not going to lord over people. You're going to serve them. You're going to love on them. You're going to show them my goodness. And that's, many scriptures talk about that the people would know us by our love one for another, right? One thing that runs through my head a lot, and I don't know why it just runs through my head, but maybe it runs through your head too. But I always think about my life is not my own. You know, it's not really. It's not my own. It's been bought with price. And so whatever he's telling me to do, then I want to do it. I don't know if you've seen Princess Bride. Have you seen Princess Bride? It's like the 30th anniversary this year. I went to see it in the movie theater for the 30th anniversary, just for the fun of it, because I used to love that movie as a kid. And there's a guy, I can't even say his name, but I'm just going to try. But he says, you know, my name is Aya Matoya. You kill my father. Prepare to die. Have you seen that part? Well, anyways, there's this guy in there, and he's, you know, looking for revenge for somebody that killed his father. But in there, him and the great pirate, Robertson, I think is his name. Yes. They get in this sword fight, you know, and he spares his life. And so when he spares his life, he just follows him around and does whatever he tells him to do, right? So he's like, I will give my life for you, you know. And he says it in a really good, awesome accent that I can't do. But that's the kind of thing I think about in my head when it comes to Jesus. It's like, he gave his all, his whole life for us. So why would we not serve him with ours, you know? And many times, I'm just going to say it. Can I say it? Many times in the Western church, in the American church, we have this mindset that church, that when we come to church, they're there to serve us. And instead of the other way around. In fact, you know, we are there. The body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. You are the church. We are the church. And Jesus is the head of the church. We are his members. And what we're supposed to do with our lives is to serve him. And to serve others. And to give to others. And it's easy to get in the mindset of, well, you know, you know, I got so much going on. I'm so busy. You know, there's just life can just be craziness sometimes that we just kind of sit back and just be like, you know what? I'm gonna go to church and I'm gonna receive. And sometimes there's seasons where that's all you can do, and that's okay. But I believe there's times where God, you know, speaks to our heart and nudges us and says, you know what? I want you to do something. I want you to use your hands to be me, you know. When people walk in the door, I think about the scripture in Matthew 25, 34 through 40. And we don't have to turn there. But it talks about Jesus is saying that when you fed others, or you gave them something to drink, or you visited them in prison, or when they were sick, that you did that for him, right? And he's like, when you do it for others, you're doing it for me. And so when people walk in this door, and we're not just serving at church, that's just one aspect. I mean, come on. Serving is serving the world. And sometimes, you know, unbelievers sometimes can be better at serving the world than believers, sadly enough. You know, sometimes they're great at it. We're great at it. And sometimes we just don't, we miss the mark, you know. But as we're doing those things, as we're, you know, ushering, as we're helping people along, as we're greeting, as we're handing out bulletins, as we're, you know, feeding the hungry, as we're doing all of those things, what I see in my mind, and my mind is kind of crazy, but I'm a visual person, so I always see pictures and things like that. But I see Jesus. You know, as somebody's walking in these doors, I see his face. And when you see that little baby that you're rocking in the nursery, I see Jesus. You know, that might be a little creepy to somebody, but it's okay. Baby Jesus. But that's what we're doing, is we're serving him. When we serve others, we're serving him. And it says to do it with your whole heart. In Ephesians, we'll go there. Ephesians 6, verse 5 through 8. Well, I marked all my things and then I put it in the wrong place. How funny is that? And then I have this microphone that I can't move anything. Yeah, come serve me. No, just kidding. Ephesians 6, verse 5 through 9. It says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. I love this part because it says, work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. So when we're serving people, we're serving the Lord. We're serving Jesus himself. And so the manner in which I'm going to serve people is the same manner in which I would serve Jesus. And it's so easy to think about serving as just doing a task, you know. Well, I got to take care of them babies, you know. They asked me to serve, so I'm going to serve, you know. Or, you know, I used to clean the church on a regular basis and served on that team for a really long time. And, you know, cleaning those toilets is not exactly fun. And I know many of you were on that team and had cleaned the toilets. And, you know, there's been many a times where I'm just praying and cleaning the toilets, you know. And whatever I'm doing, I've got to do it with. And there's times, I'll be completely honest, I did not have a right attitude about it. because, you know, it's not an easy task. You know, it's not an easy task to do some of the things that God tells us to do and to serve his people. And it's not convenient. Serving is not convenient. Serving people is not convenient. It's not going to be convenient. It's not going to be comfortable, because I'd much rather be sitting at home, you know, in my pajamas on the couch. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be comfortable. It's going to be out of your comfort zone. And I know many of you have served for many, many years. But there's always a place that we are serving at, and we can go to a new place. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we're really in a season of serving, and we're doing a really good job, and then sometimes we just, you know, for whatever reason, get comfortable and aren't serving with that same enthusiasm. You know? It's not supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to be comfortable. It's not supposed to be convenient. Serving is going out of your way. You're going to have to go out of your way to serve, right? You're going to have to make some effort. You're going to have to, you know, get uncomfortable by talking to people that maybe you aren't comfortable talking to, you know? And I just love that that God says that we can be the hands, his hands. We can be the tangible presence of God for people. We can be our hands. And we can serve people the way that we would serve Christ himself. We can love on people the way he would love them. Well, this is just one way that the life giver uses their hands to serve. And then also, a life giver uses their hands to give. Pastor Nate did an awesome job on Sunday sharing about how a life giver is generous. It was an awesome message. So if you didn't hear it, please go back and listen to it. I was almost going to be like, y'all just listen to his message because there's nothing more I can say. It was so good. But we are going to turn to 1 Timothy 6:17-19 and read. Life givers use their hands to give. It says in verse 17, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money. God bless you. Which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. I love the part that in verse 18 says, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always ready to share with others. The thing about life giver using their hands to give, it's not just money, but it's all kinds of things. And God's going to just place it on your heart to give those things. And you just have to be ready and willing. A lot of times we have to plan to give, right? We have to agree in our heart that we're going to give whenever he tells us to give. So when that opportunity comes up, we can go ahead and budget giving, right? We've been talking about budgeting and all that stuff. But you can budget giving. You can have a spontaneous giving budget, you know? And in your heart, you can just make that decision. When he tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'll always be ready and willing and obedient to share. We got to be good stewards of what he gives us first and foremost, but then also plan to give, make a choice to give. When you're giving, your hands are open. We talk about this a lot. When your hands are open, it's also ready to receive. The more we give, the more God gives us to be a blessing and to be generous. And so it's important for us to use our hands to give. It made me think about the story that Pastor Nate was talking about on Sunday with Adelie. When we were trying to get pregnant with Adelie and we were having a hard time, and God laid it on our heart to give away all of our baby stuff. And of course, Nate and I were like, that doesn't make quite sense. I mean, we're trying for a baby. Why would we give our baby stuff away? And he just said, that's one way you can trust me. I just felt like that's what he was telling me. You can trust me, and I'm not going to do something to harm you. I'm trying to get something to you. Just trust me. And so when we were giving that stuff away, it was like, I don't know if you're sentimental, but moms, you might be sentimental, but I was like looking at the high chair and the swing, and I'm thinking about my oldest daughter, Karis, and how she was in there, and she loved that swing. You know, you just get into this sentimental part of you. And, you know, I was crying about this. You know, I knew I wanted to give, and my heart was ready to give. But, you know, your flesh sometimes fights it a little bit, and your flesh is like, but what are we going to do when we actually have a baby? This doesn't make sense. And what giving does is it starts a chain reaction of giving. It just starts a chain reaction of God giving to you, others giving to you. As you give, He gives back to you, and it's in an abundance. And I can tell you, I could stand up here for hours and hours and share testimony after testimony of God's goodness. And I'm sure you can too. But with Adelie, after we had given that stuff away, we got pregnant. It really was like the next month or two. And that alone was just like, thank you, Jesus. That was amazing. We were so grateful. And tears out the wazoo about that. But after we had Adelie, we didn't have a lot of stuff, but through several people, God gave us all the amount we needed for her nursery, for even like stuff that I just wanted, decor, tonic, that stuff means a lot to me, decor. I like to decorate. But then there was also bills, for having her. That needed to be paid. And I remember sitting at the Trust Challenge, and one night when we were doing the Trust Challenge, on our seat there was a envelope of cash, and it was the exact amount we needed for a bill to pay for her. And I remember Nate and I just like, we were supposed to lead that small group that night, and we didn't know how much it was in it right away, but later when we looked at it, we were just bawling, crying, because God is good. He's not trying to take from us. When He asks us to give, it's so that His love can be tangible to somebody. And this is just one of the many ways that His love can be tangible, by giving, being generous, showing somebody that God loves them. And it does, it starts a chain reaction of blessing in our lives, giving. And there's just thing after thing after thing that happens when one person just decides to follow God. So a life giver also uses their hands to reach the world. In Mark 16... and these are all familiar scriptures, but this is who we are. We're life givers, right? In Mark 16, verse 15 through 20, and then He told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in My name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. The thing about using our hands to reach the world is one thing that our church very much values is open arms. And I see this life giver as somebody who has open arms. They're willing to open their heart, their life to anybody and everybody. And there is no judgment. We're not here to judge people. That's not our job. We're here to just show them that God's love, God's grace, His goodness, who He is. And everywhere we go, we can help people experience His love. I know many of you are life givers. You're already out in your worlds sharing the gospel with people. You're already loving on people. But everywhere we go, we can help people experience God. And we are, as life givers, looking for opportunities to help people experience God and to experience His love. We're reaching out, not only, in our world, but we're also reaching out to the whole world, And then also, we're reaching out to the people at our home. Sometimes I think we forget that we have these people in our own house that we need to reach out to, that we need to love on, that we need to serve, that we need to give to. And I was just going to share, you know, there's so many times that I've missed it and felt like I should talk to somebody or pray with somebody, and I didn't. But then there's times where I actually have been obedient, and I hope to be, instead of hesitant, I hope to be obedient every single time. And that's my heart's cry. Lord, help me to not be hesitant to share the gospel with people, but to continually be obedient when you tell me to. And just recently, I was selling something on online yard sale, and this lady was getting the painting from me, and you know, right away when she started talking, God just kind of put that in my heart, like I need to pray for her. And she went through this long list of sickness that she was dealing with, and I was like, she was a believer, and it just broke my heart because God loves her, and he doesn't want anybody to deal with this long list of sicknesses and just deal with, you know, depression and anxiety and where you just can't get up in the morning. That's kind of how she was explaining what she was going through. And the compassion of God just wells up in you. I know you've been there where you're just like, God loves you so much. And he does not want you to live that way. He loves you. He wants you to be well. And in this scripture in Mark 16, he says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you talk to them and they let you pray with them, your job is just to, you know, is it okay if I lay my hand right here? Lord, I just thank you for healing whatever's going on, in Jesus' name. I mean, we don't have to do a lot of hullabaloo. We can just be the love of God in that moment. And she grabbed my hand, and I grabbed her hand, and we just prayed, and tears ran down her eyes as we're sitting there in the Lowe's parking lot. I mean, that wasn't me. That was God. And God wants each person that we come in contact with, you know, to experience his love and experience his grace. And we can be that for people. And not every single time we're out at the grocery store is that experience going to happen. But we can be that instrument, that vessel, to say, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. Right? If you want me to do it, I'll do it. I'll be obedient. I'll pray for that person. I'll give my $2 that I have in my pocket to that person. I'll pick up the groceries that they dropped because I'm going to serve the people around me. And it's going to look different for every single person. And it's going to look different as we're serving each other, as we're serving the body of Christ, as we're serving the world, as we're giving to the world. But our hands are Jesus's hands because we are his body. And I just wanted to quickly read about Stephen. And then we're going to go over a couple of things. We're going to let you discuss in groups a couple of questions going over these things. Stephen was a disciple, and in Acts 6:8, it talks about how he came to be known in the Bible. We're going to start with verse 2. And it says, so the 12 called a meeting, and that's the disciples, of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so the brothers select 7 men who are well-respected and full of the spirit and wisdom, and we'll give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit; Philip, and I don't know how to say all the rest of these names. And then these seven were presented to apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread, and the numbers of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem. Now it goes down to verse 8, and it says, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. And you know the story of Stephen as it goes on, that he pretty much got accused of blaspheming God, and he was brought before the high council, and he was eventually stoned. Very crazy. And then in verse 19 of chapter 7, as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. That's kind of a crazy story. But I just was reading this week, and I was thinking about Stephen, and I was thinking about how his job was just to distribute the food to the widows, right? But he was a disciple who was full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. He was a disciple that wherever he went, he was full of God's grace and power and performed amazing miracles. He was a disciple that even with some great, crazy persecution, he still forgave those that stoned him. I don't believe God's going to ask us to give us our lives, but I do believe Jesus obviously gave his life for us. And Stephen, at that time, gave his life for the gospel. But I believe it was a sign to the people that were there that what he believed and what he was doing was real. But I was just thinking about how easy it is to kind of feel like we're being persecuted or feel like we've got it bad. But Stephen was just somebody who had the task of giving food out. But everywhere he went, he was full of grace. He was full of power. He was laying hands on the sick. There was amazing miracles that followed him. And that's what every believer, wherever we go, should be like. And then he was so humble about serving others that he was even forgiving them as they were stoning him, which is like mind-blowing that he could even do that. But I believe that each one of us, in some way, we can serve God with our hands. We can serve God, be life givers, and use our hands to give. We can reach out to the world. We can forgive. We can trust him with everything we have, and we can use our body as an instrument. Stephen, obviously, was a great disciple, but that was just all of them. It wasn't like he was some special disciple. He was just the guy that was distributing the food. All of us are life givers, every one of us. I'm sorry, that seems like really down story. But I do believe that whatever God's telling us to do, we should do it. And I don't believe God's going to ask us to give our lives. That was a tough situation that Stephen was in. But I do believe that we can be bold and we can help people experience God everywhere we go. And so as we're discussing these two things that we're going to go over, I want you to talk about these two questions. Are we going to have them on the screens? Yes. What characteristic of the hands of a life giver is the strongest to you? And what area most needs to grow? And then I want you to just pray for one another. Pray for one another to help each other to grow in serving, grow in giving, grow in reaching out to their worlds and being a life giver. And then whatever situation you're going through, maybe you can pray for those things too, because I know that every one of us is dealing with something that that you can give life to one another. It doesn't have to always be out there. It can be right in here, giving life to one another. So we're going to go into discussion. And then after you talk with each other and pray, then you're dismissed, right? But if you have any needs that you need prayer about apart from that, we'll be available to pray with anybody too.